Hey, everybody. Welcome to Therapy Rocks, a personal growth podcast. I'm your host, Signa Darpinian, co-author of No Way and Raising Body Positive Teens, both with Jessica Kingsley Publishers in London. Today, we're going to talk about one of the most important moments in many LGBTQ plus people's lives, coming out. And here to talk to us about it is someone who has interviewed over 90 LGBTQ plus people from around the world, Emma Goswell. Emma recently released Coming Out Stories, also with Jessica Kingsley Publishers, a book that tells the story of 27 people from across the spectrum based on her hugely popular Coming Out Stories podcast. Emma began her early years of broadcasting through a string of commercial radio stations as a broadcast journalist before joining the BBC as a newsreader and producer. She then turned her hand to presenting The Gaydio Breakfast Show. She now hosts The Weekend Outing on Virgin Radio Pride and has worked for National Prison Radio, setting up the first radio station in women's prison in the UK, which earned her a Sony Award. Emma, welcome to the show.
Oh my God, I'm exhausted hearing my life. I feel like I've been very busy for the last 51 years.
You have been so busy. I'm 51 too. You're in good company. You've been a lot busier.
1971 babies.
Oh, 1970. I'm a little older. Emma, today we're taping the show and it is Pride Month 2022. Mm. Before we delve into coming out stories, I thought it might be a good idea to cover some of the basics. Mm-hmm. And what do you think about clarifying what the most current LGBTQ plus acronym is?
Yeah, I mean, I think that is a very personal thing, really. And I think, you know, it's interesting historically, isn't it, that originally it was just L and G, really. Like when I was at university and we're talking like in the early 90s, I went to the Lesbian and Gay Society and nobody really thought about bisexuals or trans people. We didn't, you know, we just didn't really compute it. And in fact, because when I first came out, I did identify as bisexual. I soon talked myself out of that. I thought, I don't know what I was doing, kidding myself, but I did. And I went to the society and I said, you need to change the name. So I made them change the name to the Lesbian, Gay and Bisexual Society. And I've no doubt that now if I was to go back to my university, which is in Liverpool, that it would be the LGBTQ plus society. So I think that's the acronym that is most commonly used. And in fact, when we were putting together the book, we did make this choice. I think originally we wrote LGBT plus, but then we settled on LGBTQ plus, which is probably the most common one. I mean, there are other letters that you can add on after that. I and A are the most common. So just to go back to real basics, so just to tell you what they all stand for. L, and I love the fact that lesbians are first. I don't know how historically that happened, but I love it. It's great. Lesbian, gay, bisexual, trans. And then Q is a slightly awkward one because it can mean two things. So it can mean queer, and some people do identify as queer, and I've met people who do identify as that. And I've also met people who cannot abide that word because it's the word that was shouted at them in playgrounds, and they had it as abuse, and they had it as a form of bullying. So they really hate the word. And so Q can also stand for questioning. So we just say Q once. So it cannot mean either of those things, queer or questioning. And then I stands for intersex, and then A for asexual. That's some of the common one to say, LGBTQIA. But I appreciate it is quite a mouthful. So I think whenever I'm tweeting or just doing something stuff in shorthand, I will tend to just do LGBT plus or LGBTQ plus, just so I don't want to miss anyone out. But if you were to type all of them, and let's face it, there are a lot of different genders and a lot of different ways that people can identify, you would be there all day. Because, I mean, there are plenty of other things that you can add on, like Two-Spirit, which is from Native Americans, actually. They had people that they called them Two-Spirit, and it's about having two genders. And then you can also add in straight allies. You can add in all sorts of things. So, yeah, LGBTQ plus suffices.
And what's the difference between sexuality and gender?
Well, I mean, it is interesting, isn't it, that sexuality and gender are, you know, completely different, and people just get very confused about it, don't they, really? So, you know, sexuality is who you are attracted to. Your gender identity is who you feel you are. It's how you identify. It can be quite simple, but it can get convoluted and confused in people's minds sometimes, I think.
I thought it was just so interesting that for some of the community, identity with gender and sexuality is still evolving.
Yeah, do you know what? I found this fascinating as well. So you know yourself, you don't put together a book in 5 minutes. It's a process that takes months and months and months. And by the time we were just about to go to the publishers, I thought, oh, I better just double check with people. And at least one person had changed their pronouns. So actually our trans man had, you know, originally come out as a lesbian, then came out as a trans man, but now actually identifies as non-binary and goes by they, them pronouns. So it can be a very much an evolving journey for people in the LGBTQ community. Just because, and I always say, just because you come out as one thing one day, it doesn't, you know, you don't have to chisel it into a rock and say that that's going to be you for the rest of your life, you know. Things can evolve and things can change. I mean, I came out as bisexual and then came out as lesbian. I'm pretty sure I'm going to stay like that. I'm not going to change. But then again, I might want to identify as pansexual. People do change. And particularly, a lot more people are starting to identify as non-binary because I think more people are aware of it and starting to understand it a bit more. So there are definite journeys that people go on with understanding their own identity and coming to terms with it.
I saw something that really spoke to me. It said, pronouns are a way that we feel seen. They are an identifier of self. And I imagine that straight cisgender people such as myself can sometimes take for granted their pronouns. Oh, you know, it's she, her, hers. Don't really think much about it, you know. It's in alignment with me. It's culturally sanctioned. I thought maybe you could speak to why pronouns are especially important in this community.
Well, because for so long, I think people have been told that there are just two genders and there are men and women. And when you go to events, it's all ladies and gentlemen. And if you go to the toilet, it's ladies and gents toilets. And yet why? Because, you know, we know and, you know, talk to any Native Americans that, as I said, about they talk about two spirits. They know that there are a lot more than two genders. And there are a lot of people on this planet who are gender fluid. So they might identify more male one day or female the next day. There are people who split down the middle who would say they were a non-binary and they want to be using they, them pronouns. So it's very upsetting when you get pronouns wrong. So particularly if someone's transitioning and maybe they were born male and they're transitioning to female, if you were to use their male name or male pronouns to a trans woman, that would be hugely offensive. And maybe if you got it wrong the first time and apologised and carried on and then got it right, that would be okay. But, you know, if you keep getting it wrong, it is seen as a real slur because you are not accepting the gender that they are in and they identify. So it can be really upsetting, you know, and I know of people that have, you know, aren't speaking to their parents or are, you know, have moved away from home because their parents kept misgendering them. And it's a really hurtful thing. And of course, it's confusing for parents if you've brought up a child and raised them. But I know plenty of parents of trans people who have done it brilliantly and totally love their child and whatever gender they identify as. So I think to dead name someone or to misgender them knowingly is really, really hurtful and damaging to a trans person. And certainly when you are in your events now, people just don't say ladies and gentlemen. We had a brilliant New Year's Eve party on the BBC and the presenter was Ollie Alexander from Years and Years. And he made a point of saying ladies and gentlemen and non-binary people, you know, and everyone else in between, you know, on a big TV show, which is watched by millions of people across the country. So that was really important, I think, because, you know, there's still lots of people who don't understand what non-binary means. So you've got to include everybody.
Right. And, you know, I was also reading that acceptance of pronouns is an important first step to allyship as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Understand how important pronouns are and understands that getting them wrong can be really offensive and really upsetting. And if you don't know and if you're not sure and you're meeting someone for the first time, it's perfectly reasonable to ask, and then you can get it right every time then, can't you? And quite often, I don't know what it's like in America, but if you go to any sort of conferences or you go to any events in this country, they'll go around and they'll say, you know, everyone introduce themselves and say your pronouns, because it's not obvious. You know,
right.
I used to work for a radio station based in Manchester called Gaydio, and we did lots of youth work and we did seminars. I ran radio training courses, and we'd have a lot of young people in particular through the station. And, you know, it's never obvious. Just because someone walks through the door wearing a certain style of clothing or having a certain haircut, you don't know how they identify until you ask them, and they've got to tell you that. And it's very easy. Well, I've got it wrong. I mean, I learned that the hard way very early on in my career. I think I was hosting an event, and I think I gendered someone in the audience, and they actually had to say to me, I'm not a he, I'm a she, and I wanted the world to swallow me up.
And what about neo pronouns?
I don't think you'll meet a lot of people using them, but I think there's going to be, you know, that is on the rise for sure, and people are personalising them and people are using lots of different ones, and it can be confusing. But I did see some research done by the Trevor Project, which is a fantastic project based out of New York, helping LGBT youth. And they did a survey of all their young people just a couple of years ago, so in 2020, and found that 4% of LGBT people, this is in New York, were using neo pronouns. And most of those were using Z. So XE was the most common one used by young people.
Okay.
Which I think, if you come across any other ones, then yeah, I think we're all on a learning curve, though. I'm
right.
Not an expert, and I think this is all very new. And actually, do you know what? I love working with young people, because I learn so much from them, and they are the ones that are leading the debate and leading the frontier in terms of gender politics at the moment. It's, you know, we are the old fuddy-duddies, really.
Exactly.
And we are playing catch-up. It's young people that are leading the way, which is fantastic to see, and making their own choices and making their own words and, you know, identifying as they want.
Emma, I know you often get asked, why do people in the LGBTQ+ community have to come out? Aren't we past this already? You know, can't they get married now?
Well, yeah, exactly. That's it. You'd have thought that we've won all our rights, that we're living in utopia now, aren't we? There's no homophobia and no transphobia in the world. But unfortunately, that isn't the world that we live in, really. And I would love to be made redundant and not be able to, like, tell these quite harrowing stories sometimes. But unfortunately, it is still difficult coming out, even in 2022. But I totally agree with the sentiment. I agree with the fact that it shouldn't be a big deal. It shouldn't be that important. You know, and I have spoken to some people who have managed to bypass all the drama. I spoke to a comedian called Stephen Bailey, and he is from a part of Manchester, and he literally just took his boy from home and went, Mum, Dad, this is my boyfriend, Rob. I'm just going to go and get changed. Then we're going to the Trafford Centre to do some shopping. And literally just left his boyfriend with the parents and didn't discuss it again. And it was like absolutely no drama. And it shouldn't be that important, should it? Like,
right.
Here's this person you need to meet. They're my boyfriend. Let's all move on, really. But it isn't normally that simple, is it, really? And I think people want to come out. And I think, I mean, I've touched on this on the book, actually. It's like, as LGBT people, we internalise quite a lot of self-hatred and self-loathing because of the world around us, because the world around us is heteronormative. And for example, I did an interview with a guy this morning who is from a very liberal family, lived in Southampton, you know, and he went to school in the 90s and noughties, so we're not talking about that long ago, but still was bullied at school because he was effeminate and he was camp, and changed the way he walked, he changed the way he talked because he was told that he was walking and talking like a girl. He was like queer slurs shouted at him every day that he went to school. And he totally hated himself because he was getting all this abuse at school. So even though he thought that his parents would be okay, if you're hearing all that at school, if you're hearing that from your peers, you're going to panic about actually saying those words and saying, Mum, Dad, I'm gay. You know, you really are going to panic about it. And I think even people in really liberal backgrounds do always worry, worst case scenario, because you do hear these stories of people getting thrown out of their homes. You know, people are made homeless, you know, across the world in 2022 because they're part of the LGBTQ+ community. So it can be a scary thing. It was really interesting, actually, last night I had a message from a young lesbian. She's quite young. And she found me on Twitter and DM'd me and said, Emma, I'm so glad I found your podcast. I just wanted to thank you because, you know, my parents are really understanding. My friends are really tolerant. But I was just in a really dark place and I felt really isolated. I didn't know any other gay people. I was terrified about coming out. And she found the podcast and she said it really gave her some solace and gave her some strength and gave her a lot more understanding about her community. So she was able to then come out. And I was weeping when I read that message. I just thought, this is exactly why I did the podcast, because people do want to come out. People know that they'll be happier coming out, but sometimes we need to share these stories and put them out there in the world so that people can see how it panned out for other people, really, and get some inspiration. That was the sort of whole point behind it, really.
One of the things that I was thinking about when listening to the podcast and reading the book is my best gay guy friend since eighth grade. I thought it was seventh. Yeah. He corrected me recently. It was eighth. I'm sorry. And I didn't think about what it was like pre-internet, pre-podcasts, where was no community. And so I feel like it's deepened my understanding for one of the people that is the very closest to me, you know? And I was talking to him about this as I was reading the book and listening to the podcast. And he's like, well, I mean, I came out when I was young, you know? I'm like, but you were 20. That was 20 years, you know, without any community. I imagine so isolating.
Really, really isolating. Yeah. And I can just remember interviewing a drag queen that lives in Cardiff in Wales. And he knew he was gay from a very young age and was so devastated and distraught that he tried to take his own life as a young person. He was so utterly devastated that he was gay. Fast forward a few years, he survived, thank God. He survived the suicide attempt. And a few years later, he decided he was going to go and do something about being gay. And this was pre-internet, so he decided he was going to walk to the other side of Cardiff, find a newsagent, and then go and get a copy of the Pink Paper and a copy of Gay Times, which are LGBT publications available in the UK. And that was what you had to do in those days, and then hide those publications and then feel, you know, really embarrassed about going into a shop to purchase them.
The other thing that struck me while reading, I feel like I have a much deeper understanding now of how important it is for an individual to come out in their timing.
Yeah, absolutely. I've heard some horror stories. I spoke to one guy from Northern Ireland who was actually blackmailed by someone he knew saying, does your father know that you're gay? And then tried to bully him and ask for money and say, I'm going to tell your father. You know, I mean, horrific. You have to come out in your own terms and in your own time. You know?
Right.
And, you know, it was quite sad what happened to Rebel Wilson recently, wasn't it? That she, you know, finally met the love of her life and got together with a woman. And maybe she wasn't quite ready to come out yet. Maybe she wasn't. But then was threatened to be outed by the Sydney Herald. I mean, and that can be so damaging. It's nobody else's business,
right,
is it? Yes, like, you know, you feel like you own these people because they're celebrities, but it is nobody's business. People have to come out in their own terms and in their own time. And some people will come out as teenagers. I've heard people come out as young as 10. I've heard trans people know that they were trans from like the age of 4, you know, and try to articulate that at the age of 4. But, you know, and some people take a lot longer. I spoke to a lesbian last year who was in her 40s. She had a child. She had relationships with men. And she just didn't really connect or really sort of work out that she was gay until she was about 40 years old. And some people just don't. Some people take a lot longer to work out that they're gay. And like Rebel Wilson, I think she dated lots of men, didn't she? And just obviously met a woman that changed her life and changed her perspective on things. And like maybe she wasn't expecting to suddenly be in a relationship with someone of the same sex, but she did end up in a same-sex relationship. But yeah, absolutely horrific that people are getting outed.
It makes me think of JP's story and how important it is to first come out to yourself. You know, where he would stand there looking in his reflection in the mirror and just say, I'm gay. I'm gay.
Yeah.
You know, that the first step was coming out to himself.
Every time I think about his story, I just have the Michael Jackson song going around my head, like Man in the Mirror. It's like, you know, you have to be true to the man in the mirror, don't you?
And right.
Yeah, he actually did practice saying, I'm gay to himself in the mirror, which is an interesting technique. I've not heard anyone say that, really, but I do love that. Yeah.
I loved it. And I loved Olivia's story, how she was saying that, you know, all of these people are saying, well, just do it, you know, just come out, just do it. And she's like, okay, you sitting up on your straight throne telling me what to do, you know, that it is very personal and so yeah. important that it's in your timing. Emma, what is your best advice for individuals thinking about coming out?
Well, I think we touched on this already slightly, haven't we? And
right.
that is about taking your time and mm-hmm. don't feel the pressure to do it. You know, you don't have to do it for anyone else. You're doing it for yourself. You know, and the reason that we do it is because we want to be loved and accepted by those people around us that we care about. And we do it because we want to be honest about ourselves. So we don't want to be living a lie. We don't want, you know, family acceptance or friend acceptance based on the fact that they think that we're straight or they think that we're cisgendered. We want love and acceptance for who we really are. So really take time to work out who you really are. You know, you will know inside, but take time to process it and do not rush into anything and don't feel pressured to do it before you should, really. So it might be that you choose probably to tell someone other than the parent first. Like most people I've spoken to, I think, probably have gone with a friend and a close friend and tested the waters that way, or a sibling. But, you know, some people have decided to go straight to the parents or carers. But really think about, you know, how safe it will be for you coming out as well. I know there were some very difficult times during lockdown for people, for example, because young people were, you know, essentially trapped with parents who might be misgendering them or might be homophobic, who didn't understand what they were going through. So there was no way that people should be encouraged to come out if they literally are locked in a house with parents that aren't going to be accepting. So that was a really difficult time for a lot of people, I think, actually. So, yeah, just take your time, take it easy, find a friend that you can ask, and avail yourself to all the information and all the help that is out there, because, you know, as we've spoken about, the internet is a wonderful place and social media can be a wonderful place and can be used for good.
Right.
And you will find lots of great groups and lots of great people to follow on Twitter and lots of great people who you can link up with through social media. But use it safely. That's what I would say. And there are loads of different charities and organisations, and you know, some of them have got phone numbers as well, so you could call. I mean, certainly in the UK, we've got the Lesbian and Gay the LGBT Foundation, and there are charities like the Albert Kennedy Trust, which are there to particularly help homeless LGBT youth, but not exclusively homeless. You might be at risk of homelessness. There are so many different organisations, and now there are so many different groups. So whatever you're into, you could find your tribe. So, for example, if you happen to be a gay man, but you're really into your football, you can find a gay soccer team to join in this country, you know.
Oh, that's so cool.
There are so many different groups out there now, and there are different faith groups. So, for example, if you are of the Muslim faith, you will find hopefully an LGBT Muslim group. There are plenty of gay-friendly churches across the country. So whatever your tribe is, whatever your thing is, try and find the LGBT society connected to that, because there will be one. I guarantee it.
What about your best advice for allies?
Yeah, well, we talked about not assuming pronouns. So always ask people their pronouns first time you meet them. You might want to tell them yours as well, because they will not be assuming yours either. And, you know, the same advice for anyone in life, really. Don't be a dick. You know, don't judge people.
Don't be a dick. I love it.
Don't be a dick. That's all encompassing, isn't it, really?
Right, it is. It is.
I
might have the new title for our podcast today. Don't be a dick.
Because you can swear on podcasts. It's brilliant. Mm-hmm. You know, just don't assume that everyone else in the world is straight and cisgendered. And I think sometimes straight cisgender people are guilty of living in a bit of a bubble, and they don't know people. Like this guy I interviewed this morning, he said, you know, his parents are pretty liberal, but they didn't know any gay people. Well, they probably did, but they probably just didn't know it. Everyone assumes. This is the trouble with the world. It's like everyone just assumes that everyone is straight and that everyone is cisgendered, you know, and there's a beautiful rainbow world out there. So embrace it and support people and speak out. You know, if you hear homophobia or transphobia in the workplace or on public transport or even in the street, if it's safe to do so, you need to speak out and say, I'm sorry, that is not acceptable language. It's not okay to say that, because people, if they think they're talking to someone with their same views, can come out with horrific things and may say all sorts of transphobic or homophobic stuff to you. And it's not okay to just sort of nod and go, oh yeah, okay. You know, you have to challenge it. You have to be standing up for the rights of people that, you know, might not be there to speak for themselves. So do challenge bad behaviour where you see it and where you hear it.
Emma, thank you so much for such an empowering and moving book. I laughed, I cried, I was all good. Over the place. Yeah. And just for shining a light on such a pivotal moment in the lives of those within the LGBT plus community. I feel like I am such a better informed ally after reading and after our conversation today. Thank you for the work that you do.
Well, this is brilliant because, you know, I guess I really made the podcast and the book for people in the LGBT community so they could find other stories that they related to. But actually, you know, it's not about singing to the choir, is it? It's not about preaching to the choir.
Right.
It's about educating the rest of the world and making cisgendered and straight people understand what our community goes through and how we do torture ourselves and why it is a big thing to come out. Because I literally do think that most straight people just go, oh, yeah, well, come out as gay. It's not a big deal. But it is a big deal.
It is a big deal. And a shout out to our publishing house, Jessica Kingsley Publishers. They have the biggest selection of LGBTQ plus books.
They really do, don't they? And they approached us, actually, because they'd already decided that they wanted to do a collection of coming out stories. We'd already done all their research for them because I've been around the world interviewing LGBT people. So they were like, oh, you know, you've interviewed all these LGBT people. Would you like to put it together into a book? We thought it was a joke to begin with, to be honest. We were like, well, nobody gets offered a book contract. But yeah, we really did. So we feel very, very privileged, really.
I could not be happier. And a shout out also to your co-author, Sam Walker, who I met at She Podcast. She was giving the best presentation, one of my very favorites there. And I saw the book and I'm like, wait a second, we're in the same publishing house. So that was a ton of fun to meet her.
She is an absolute inspiration. Oh. And none of this would have happened without Sam Walker. So I'll just quickly tell you how we started the podcast. So I'd split up with a girlfriend of mine and made myself homeless in that process. So I went to live with Sam Walker in her loft, which our it was very nice. It had its own bathroom and kitchen and everything. And but they did just refer to me as the lesbian in the loft, which is hilarious. So I went to live with her and her family. And whilst I was there, because she's got her own recording studio, because she is the podcast queen, she said, Emma, you should tell your coming out story and then maybe interview some other people and tell your coming out story. And I was like, nah, do we need to be doing this in 2018? I don't think we do. And thank God she convinced me to do it and take it up, because it's been the most worthwhile project I have ever been involved in. And I think this really will be my life's legacy to help people in the coming out process. So if I had never have met Sam Walker and moved into a house when I was homeless, it never might have happened. So I've got a lot to thank her for.
When I saw her talk, I was ignited. I'm like, that is a podcast topic I'm going to go after. But thank you for the work that you do. I have lots to learn, but I feel like I have such a better base now because of the work that you do.
Well, thank you for the work you do, and thank you for inviting me on and letting me, you know, shine a spotlight on the LGBTQ plus community. So thank you.
Okay, you have a good one, Emma.
Thank you.
Yay. Thank you for joining us today for another episode of Therapy Rocks. And a reminder that you can rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen.